Let's bring in Princeton historian Julian Zelizer, who's been watching the debate over the next House Speaker. He's also thinking about some other big political questions moving forward. Julian edited the new book Myth America, Historians' Take on the Biggest Legends and Lies About Our Past. Welcome, Julian.
Nice to be with you.
So let's start with the right now. It's the first time in a century that the House couldn't elect a Speaker on the first roll call vote. We've seen sharp political division for years, but what are the forces that made this fight happen right now?
Well, part is the change that's happened in the Republican Party since the 1980s. You've seen a steady radicalization of much of the party, where larger and larger parts of it, whether it was the Newt Gingrich era in the 80s, the Tea Party in 2011 and 12, or now the Trumpist wing, are more comfortable with instability. They're not as concerned about governing. And there's a lot more tolerance for the kind of politics that we're seeing play out. And people like McCarthy have opened the door to these forces, and often they then have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah. So what do you think, you know, this tells us, this fight right now tells us about what to expect from the next Congress?
Well, I think it says a lot. If you have this much trouble getting on the same page and committing to picking a leader, imagine when you're dealing with issues like raising the debt ceiling, which are going to be incredibly consequential and controversial. There'll be more tolerance for what you're seeing play out. So House Republicans are going to have a rocky road, as will Democrats, because ultimately that's who they have to deal with.
And one of the big political questions moving forward is what the House GOP majority will mean, as slim as it is, and now with this faction, kind of even less so. You say it could be a mixed blessing for Democrats. How so?
Well, on the one hand, it's obviously not great, because once Republicans establish control, it will be impossible, nearly impossible, for President Biden and the Democrats to get legislation through the lower chamber. So you're looking at 2 years where nothing much is going to happen compared to the first 2 years. On the other hand, what's playing out now can end up being beneficial for Democrats, meaning the extremism and the inability to govern that characterizes this House Republican caucus could be a big talking point, a big issue for voters going into 2024. That's what happened with Newt Gingrich and the Republicans, and that extremism can ultimately work against the GOP.
You know, I think that there's many of us who say, gosh, do we already have to look forward to 2024? We just finished the midterms and we're trying to figure out what's happening in this Congress. But clearly, 2024 looms large and matters. Do you think, is it too early to be talking about, you know, President Biden running for re-election and the challenges he'll face within his own party?
Absolutely not. This is American Politics 101, and the campaign is underway, both President Biden figuring out or confirming that he will run for re-election and any potential challenges. Republicans are already sorting through who the candidates will be. Former President Trump has already announced. And what happens on Capitol Hill in terms of legislation, investigation, and more will have a big influence on how voters think of the parties in 2024. So it's not too early at all. That election in many ways is already underway.
So I think the big question then is really about our democracy. Will it be stable? There's still election denialism. There's a Congress that you just helped us understand might not get much done in the next 2 years.
But no, it's not stable. And everything that we lived through that culminated in January 6th is still very much a problem. And we have to deal with the underlying forces that allowed an effort to overturn the election at the highest levels of power to take place. Otherwise, we remain at risk.
Princeton University historian Julian Zelizer. Julian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.